Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
We'll hear from Dean Richards in just a little bit. Right now to Las Vegas and Cindy Perlman-Gaber with some entertainment headlines. We've been seeing Joni Mitchell pop up here and there lately, and very soon we're going to see her on the big screen, aren't we, Cindy?
Good morning, Bob. And you know, the interesting thing, Joni had only one song, Help Me, released in 1974, hit the top 10, her only top 10, and it only peaked at number 7. But look at what a legend she is, and now she's coming to the big screen.
And who will play Joni Mitchell?
It's interesting. Anya Taylor-Joy is going to play the young Joni Mitchell. And the coolest news ever last week, Meryl Streep, of all people, is going to be Joni at a certain age, which sounds amazing. And just adding more secret sauce onto this thing, Cameron Crowe, one of my favorite directors of all time from Almost Famous, he's been attached to this for years. He's directing. He's been meeting with Joni and said it's her life, not seen through anybody's prism. It's through her prism. It's all the characters who impacted her life, including many showbiz people we know and a lot of them we don't know. And the music, so cinematic. So can't wait for that one.
Yeah, that should be good. That sounds like it's, what, like a year away?
Yeah, about a year away.
Talk about Keanu Reeves and his new dark comedy. That's how it's being described for Apple TV.
You know, he's back. Keanu Reeves will star for Apple TV in a dark comedy where he plays a character named Reef Hawk. You got to love this name, Reef Hawk. And he's a beloved Hollywood star who must, and we quote from their release, dive into the depths of his hidden demons. I mean, are there any other kind? After he's extorted with a mysterious video that's sure to shatter his image and end his career. And it's a good cast. It's Cameron Diaz, who's come out of retirement. She was retired for a bunch of years, raising kids. And Matt Bomer. So they're there. And then there's a crisis lawyer played by Jonah Hill. And it's based on a story that Jonah Hill also wrote, and he's also directing.
Do we have a name for this yet?
This is called, I think it's untitled as of yet, but I think we'll hear about what the name is pretty soon.
Yeah, I bet we will. Kevin Costner is back in the saddle again, isn't he?
Kevin Costner teaming up with Morgan Freeman. What a good combo that is. And they're not in it, but they're going to produce a new many-part series called The Great Horse, celebrating the unsung heroes of the Civil War. But this with a twist, the women who formed an espionage network to win the war. So this is like a story most of us have never heard about, women who passed on information through the Underground Railroad with freeing the slaves at the same time. So sounds super cool. And Mary Louise Parker plays the head of this. An actress named Daisy Head's also in it as a mother-daughter duo. And they're the ones feeding the critical information to the Union Army. But the other stars, really good cast, Ben Tureen, Sam Terrell, Christopher McDonald, Keith David. And they took great risks to themselves to do this. So it's going to be 8 episodes, streaming soon on Prime on February 26th.
Can you explain why Kevin Costner left Yellowstone? I mean, it seems like he's working a lot. He wants work. What was the story on that?
You know, he had a fallout. He had his movie Horizon took a long time. It threw off the Yellowstone schedule. Tyler Sheridan also has a bit of an ego. Now, these are two guys with big egos. He had a certain schedule for Yellowstone, but at the same time, never turned the writing parts in at any time that Kevin Costner could plan for when he could shoot his movie. So these two titans clashed. And you know there's bad blood. How did he kill off John Dutton? On the toilet, shot in the middle of the night. I mean, what kind of worse death could there be for the matriarch of Yellowstone? So that, I always held out hope Kevin could reappear at the end or he wasn't really dead, but no. The toilet thing seemed to seal it. Those guys are donezo, as they say.
Yeah, we haven't watched any of the spinoffs in our house, but I keep hearing about Landman. Or is that even a Yellowstone spinoff? What is that?
Yeah, that's its own thing about oil men in Texas. So that's a great one, too. Less good, I think, is Tulsa King. I think that's okay. But Landman, but two are coming up. The Madison, which is Michelle Pfeiffer and Kurt Russell. And they're a couple grieving who moved to Montana and decide, we'll deal with the land and different mm-hmm. land, though. And then Casey, Luke Grimes, who played Casey, the youngest son, he has his show about federal marshals, which starts soon. Big what if on that one, too. There's a lot of rumors that Monica, his wife, is going to be dead when we open that show, that he's going to be a single dad. Yeah, that's something we're hearing, that Monica, you know, it wasn't enough for her to get hit by a bison while she was driving or fend off murderous people who wanted the ranch. Now she could be dead again. I don't need that, Bob. It's too emotional for me.
Mm-hmm. We don't need that. Whatever happened to Beth? I thought we were going to get a series based on that character from Yellowstone.
Beth and Rip also have their own series, which is called The Dutton Ranch. That's coming out later this year. They're ranchers. It's a smaller ranch with the boy, Carter. They've sort of adopted him. But, I mean, come on. Is Beth going to be happy just sitting there on the ranch all day? I don't know. And they moved to a different part of Montana. Here's my wild theory. Somehow they screwed up the paperwork, and the real Dutton Ranch wasn't really sold, and they still own it. That's just a wild theory I'm throwing out there.
It'll be another spinoff. Who can keep up with all this? One movie that's getting a lot of buzz is called Goat, and you talked with Steph Curry about this. Fill us in, Cindy.
How cool is that, Bob? I got this call, and they said, do you want to talk to Steph Curry? I mean, who says no to that? And then he's just charming. He's so inspirational. He tells these stories. I mean, he was a small guy, taunted in school, underestimated, overlooked by every Division I college basketball program when it came to getting a scholarship. And he said, quote, I wasn't big enough. I wasn't good enough, fast enough. But I learned in life that it's about running your own race and being ready when your moment comes, which is really what this movie's about. He voices a giraffe in a movie about a little teeny goat that could. He's on a basketball-like sport called roar ball, and it's co-ed, and, you know, they shoot hoops, and it's a little team that could, and great voices, David Harbour, Jennifer Lewis, Jelly Roll, Jennifer Hudson. But the reviews are starting to roll in on this thing, and it's just lavish praise and well-deserved. They're saying it's gorgeous cinematography plus a really inspirational story.
Goat, we'll watch for that. And where can we see that?
Goat is Friday in theaters. And the funny thing was, Steph Curry said he had no idea how to be a voice, but he walked into the sound room at Sony and said, hey guys, I'm coachable. So that's pretty funny coming from him.
Yeah, I'll say he is. And finally, Chicago's own Amy Madigan is up for an Oscar. And what's she talking about these days?
She basically said everyone on earth should be married to Ed Harris, the man she's been married to for 42 years. Now, they're such a cute couple, married forever. And, you know, she was having a career lull, and he kept saying to her, I feel things are about to happen for you. And she was like, yeah, right, you're just being a good husband. But he was like, no, 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 wait and see. Something's about to pop. I can feel it in my bones. And then comes this movie, Weapons. She plays this crazy lady, Gladys, in a town where all the kids are starting to disappear. She has a Best Supporting Actress nomination now for a low-budget horror movie, which proves Ed Harris is completely right in life, right?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. I enjoyed that movie. Cindy Perlman-Gaber in Las Vegas. Thank you, Cindy. Have a good one.
Thanks, Bob.
And we will hear from Dean momentarily. He interviewed the conductor from that Bad Bunny Super Bowl halftime show, Giancarlo Guerrero of the Grand Park Symphony. We'll get to that after our weather and traffic break.
We are honored to have him with us this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good to see you.
Very nice to have you with us. Congratulations on being part of this historic broadcast. What's the feedback been like for you so far?
It has been actually remarkable that in such a short period of time, I made my appearance conducting, and all of a sudden, you know, I become a very recognizable face. And it's been absolutely exciting, and I was so honored to be a part of that wonderful project.
So how did you get hooked up with Bad Bunny? How did you even get involved in all of this?
So the Saturday before the Super Bowl, a week before, I got a call from my manager that he got a call from Bad Bunny's manager that there was this small string orchestra section in the Super Bowl, and that he wanted not only real string orchestra, but he also wanted a real conductor. And he knew about me. Apparently, he had heard about me, about my career and about the Grammy wins and what have you. And he wanted a Latino conductor. So I was invited to take part of it. And given that both my daughters are huge Bad Bunny fans, I could not say no. Otherwise, they would have never forgiven me.
And were you familiar with his music also?
Of course. Whenever I'm in the car, guess who controls the radio?
Of course. So what was the preparation like for all of this? Obviously, it was kept way under wraps, you know, very secretive. But just the planning, the logistics of getting on the field and getting all set up for this must have been amazing.
That was absolutely incredible, because there were absolutely about 800 performers altogether, plus all of the staff. And I got to tell you, the first thing you do when you arrive at the stadium for the first rehearsal on Tuesday, they put covers over your phone and your lenses to make sure there are no photos. And the fact that they're able to keep this so secret with more than 1,000 people around, it's actually quite miraculous. But in the end, it was so inspiring to be surrounded by so many people at the top level of professionalism and generosity, everybody coming together for one purpose, which is to put a great show together. That was really, for me, the best part of the whole experience. But yes, there was a lot of standing around and moving around, being in the right place, almost like being in marching band, and hopefully not running into anybody else. But it was absolutely exciting, and everybody was in such high spirits that it was absolutely incredible fun.
Yeah. Yesterday we talked, so much about this show and what a symbol of pride it was. What a statement on Latin pride and culture. You must have been very proud also of the statement that the show made.
Absolutely. But it goes just beyond just the Latin culture. As I said, everybody that was a part of this is from every imaginable background. And getting a chance to spend time with every single one of them and hearing where they, what their thoughts are, and whether they were dancers or they were musicians or whether they were, you know, security people or staff people, everybody was there with such a degree of pride of taking part of such a big project. And in the end, our main thought was, you know, let's put on the best show possible. And it starts at the top. I have to commend Benito Bad Bunny himself, because it comes from the top. The level of inspiration that he gave the rest of us to do our best was truly amazing. And as I said, every single moment that we were on the field was something that I will never forget.
Yeah, well, I have to say to you, I've enjoyed the Grand Park Symphony many times. Looking forward to shows this summer. When is your first show going to be this summer?
So we open in mid-June, and I'm kind of wait to be back in Chicago in the Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park with the fabulous Grand Park Festival Orchestra and the chorus, and one of the most amazing settings for a summer festival in the world.
Yeah, it really is. I'm so glad you could join us. Thank you so much.